Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to another edition of Blue Shirt Banner Radio, Wednesday, June 9th. A little late start for us tonight because of the hockey game, which is currently 1-1 at the end of the first period. And good evening, Eddie. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm a little cheesed off at the end of the way that period ended and that horse dookie call against Sopel. And then they score Scott Hairnet. I have no idea. It looked like Wade Redden with Duncan Keith out there. I mean, you hit the guy before the puck goes in the net, but then when the puck comes to him, you're nowhere near him. Come on, Duncan. You're a better defenseman than that. Pick up that idiot. So I'm all involved in that Chicago game right now, and they totally dominate the period, Chicago, and it's 1-1. I don't like that. Should have taken advantage of the Flyers coming out slow, but the referees are helping them along. But anyway, to answer your question, I'm doing good. Hi, everybody.
we got a full chat room already. These people, and some old some people we haven't seen in a while have popped back in for the special 9 o'clock edition. Oh, Andrew from South Florida, and who else did I see? Quick Release is back. Haven't seen him in a while. Good evening, everyone. Thanks for joining us. Big news today, I guess. They call it big news, right?
There's big news all around concerning us and Ranger fans.
In case you didn't hear, a second round pick in 2008, Derek Stepan, who I guess originally had said he was going to return to the University of Wisconsin, has signed what they call an entry level deal, a 3-year deal. $875,000 a year. Larry Brooks reported the news earlier today, and then we had it on Blue Shirt Banner and talked about it. Larry says he's a long shot to make the club, more likely to be assigned to the junior WHL Calgary Hitmen, possibly the AHL Hartford Wolfpack. Does Bret Hart still own a piece of the Hitmen?
I'm not sure about that, but I think former Ranger Kelly Kissio is either their GM or was their GM. I'll have to check on that.
I think he's the assistant GM up there. I'm gonna check that really quick while we're talking. See if I can figure it out. I think the last time I checked, exactly, because I had tried to find out. How to get in touch with him, because we'd like to have him on the show. And he is the general manager. There he is. As bald as
there
ever.
There he is.
Kelly Kissio. Look at him. Little number 11. Another number 11 that wore the C.
That's right. One of the lower key guys to wear the C in Ranger history. But I love that name, that team. The Calgary Hitmen. You know what you're getting when you get a Calgary Hitman. You're playing. I feel so torn up in the Chicago series, I'm telling you. All my life force, I'm rooting for the Hawks to win it and just shut these Flyer fans up. Anyway.
Somebody brought to my attention, I don't know if it was, I guess it was sometime last week, that one of these clips that we have of your favorite and mine, Mr. Stan Fischler. Didn't he predict in one of these clips that we play that the Flyers were going to the Stanley Cup?
Yes, he did it. He said that Philly would play San Jose in the Cup. Although, and listen, we'll give Stan his props again. He said it would be on the back of Ray Emery. Ray Emery will be the goaltender will regain his earlier form. It will be the the light, the beacon of hope, the stone wall, the backstopper, if you will, to this Stanley Cup drive. But he did have a team right. So, you know, we'll give Stan, although I exposed him on my Ranger Crisis video as the Islander fan that he is. So, I'm excited about this Stepan thing, just to continue. This guy is a leader at a young age. With the Rangers, I disagree with Larry Brooks on this because with the Rangers in the position they are, why not just throw these guys in? Now, maybe I'm a little too impatient to get to see these guys playing on the pro ranks. Maybe it takes a couple of years. But I just feel with you seeing a lot of 19-year-olds go right into the league nowadays, why not our team? So, well, hey, you know, that's my I'm pleased as punch, I mean, that he is. And who knows, maybe now this will – McDonough will follow suit from Wisconsin, who I know the Rangers really want him to turn pro, like, big time. So, okay, Joe, I'm sorry. I interrupted you there.
No, not at all. I couldn't – what you said about Stepan, I couldn't agree more. Everything you said, including about McDonough. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. Hopefully, maybe he'll come in and make a good impression. The only thing I guess working against them a little bit is that the Rangers are heavy in at the center position. There's just not a lot of talent there.
Yeah, I mean, if it came into Derek Stepan or Brian Boyle, I mean, I know Boyle's a decent penalty killer, but throw the kid in there. They got problems at the Wazoo at center. I mean, come on, let's go. I'm ready. Let's start the season tonight.
Drop the puck. Here we go. What do we got? What do we got? Jeez. Well, Stanley Cup be over tonight, and then training camp. We are still what? Oh wow. Are we really 4 months from training camp still? Four months. Is that right? July, August. No, 3 months. Sorry, 3 months. Okay. Well, that does. It's 90 days. We'll call it to training camp. Makes it sound shorter. 90 days.
90 days. It does make it sound shorter.
Yeah.
So, go guest tonight, folks. So it's all you. It's
That's
all
right.
You tonight. It's back to you. And let's face it, it's always about you. But we got a little derailed. We had talked to James Patrick. He was fantastic. I mean, almost 2 hours. Talked to James. He enjoyed his time here and wants to come back. So he was great. I like how he called Milo Horchev Michelle Bergeron's. Oh, Michelle Bergeron's whipping boy. That was good. So.
It was funny how he said the same thing that John O'Gronick said when he was on the show about Michelle Bergeron. How you couldn't understand him half the time.
He also said the same pregame speech, right? Remember?
Right. Yeah.
All right, just guys, we go on their goalie. Get some shots. All right. Get them, boys. So, I thought that was funny, too. So, so do you want to, you know, we had the Stepan news, and I hope everybody in the chat room keeps us updated. I'm going to be in the chat room in a second. I'm having a little bit of technical issues here getting in. But, Jim, do you want to unveil this whole thing that we want to, been trying to unveil, but we've been, you know, kind of...
Well, yeah, I was going to save that kind of – I'm going to try and save that for, like, the last half hour of the show maybe. You know, that's usually when – you know, since I figured since we don't have a guest tonight, we can get the phone calls in early and then maybe we'll spend the last half hour talking about that a little bit. You know, I thought this was kind of funny. Steve Zippe, beat writer for the Rangers, you know, he – the other day when the – when the Rangers officially announced the signing of MZA, Matt Zuccarello Austin. I have trouble with that name. Is it Austin? Is that do I have
I
that
heard,
right? Matt.
I heard it once. They said Austin.
Okay.
But who knows if that's the correct pronunciation? We're going to hear down the line. So.
Well, you know, Steve's a witty guy. You know, anybody that reads his column.
What? Are you out of your head?
Stay with me here. Okay. Anybody that reads Steve on a daily basis knows he's a witty guy and he's always coming up with funny sayings. Eddie, I got to tell you, he came up with a great nickname for MZA. Frodo from Modo. What do you think of that one?
That's pure genius. I really am surprised that he was able to come up with something like that on his own. That's something I would think of. I mean, I don't want to pat myself on the back, but that's kind of something that I would come up with.
Yeah, you know, and it's so original. I mean, where does he come up with this stuff?
It couldn't be the internet because, listen, I mean, the internet is full of nothingness. It's not informative. It's not entertaining. Steve reminds people of this, not to listen to the internet, and especially Ranger internet shows. I have no idea where he came up with the Frodo Modo from Modo. But I'll tell you, my hat's off to him. It's freaking funny.
And he just invented a new soda. He's going to call it Coca-Cola.
Ingenious. This guy is a regular Einstein. Let me tell you something, folks, and let's get into it. This bozo, Steve Zippe, you all know where it came from. You went here with the over the weeks and over the months with me. And yeah, you know, what I say is irrelevant, and, you know, even I don't pay attention to it. But I came up with the Frodo from Modo. I did. This show did. You did. We did. And this guy has the balls to use it in his column. I don't care about the credit. Who cares who comes up with this stupid nickname? But he'll sit there and say, don't listen to the even go near the internet because they don't know anything over there. You know, we have nothing to say worthwhile. Then looks like one dope is listening to us. And then the only dope that's listening to us is Steve Zippe. And he's stealing my material. What's next? I don't know. Maybe he'll have a roll call next. Maybe that's next, Jim.
Maybe he'll have a video blog.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Zippe's prices.
Now, Michael Obenauer in the Daily News, somewhat to his credit, at least he said something to the effect of, "I've seen a lot of nicknames for MZA or something like that, but the best one I've seen was the Frodo from Modo." So at least he admitted that he saw it somewhere else and didn't come up with it on his own. Zippe just used it in his headline. Hey, look at me. Look at what I did.
Again, go post nothing to do with credit, but don't come on and say the internet and his coverage is bad and the new media coverage is bad and then steal from it. It's hypocritical and it's freaking stupid. That's why, again, he's a Dolan crony. They work for News. He works for Newsday. What do you expect? And speaking of propaganda, Jim, you've been covering this more than I have. But that Ranger website, I mean, I don't want to offend any of our Jewish listeners here, but is Joseph Goebbels running that thing over there? There's so much propaganda coming out of that that Ranger. What did they say about Chad Johnson this week?
It's like Tokyo Rose.
It's Tokyo Rose over there.
Well, they're doing this thing, this 20 prospects in 20 days. And every prospect they write an article on is the greatest prospect of all time. I mean, it's like the Rangers are once again reassembling the 1984 Edmonton Oilers. Evgeny Grachev, who we've had several people on this show, you know, people in the know that have said they're disappointed in him, that the organization is disappointed in him and that he had a disappointing season and didn't perform the way they thought, and every other term you want to use for underachieving. And then they write an article on Rangers.com about how he's ahead of schedule, he's on, he's this, he's that. I mean, you got Paulie D practically calling him Evgeny Grotjesiman. I mean, it's ridiculous, you know. But Ranger fans, you're smarter than this. You're smarter than this, and the Rangers just don't want to admit it. We know you're smarter than this. We see you. We talk to you guys on a daily basis, and we talk to you on the show. We see you on Blue Shirt Banner. We see you on Ranger Crisis. We see you on Facebook and everywhere else we see you. We know you're smarter than this. The Rangers think you're stupid. They think you're stupid.
You know what it is? It really is. I don't know if they are. I mean, they got balls. They got pure nads over there because no less do we know our hockey, you know, like all, you know, just tremendously. But you're in New York. You can't sell some fake goods to a New Yorker. We're realists. We're also pessimists in a lot of ways, but we're realists. And the fact that they are peddling this nonsense on their website, everybody knows that Evgeny Grotjesiman, listen, I am the biggest advocate. I know the guy struggled. He had a terrible time adjusting in AHL. For them to say he's ahead of schedule, what was their schedule? For him to be a bust? Because he's ahead of that schedule, I can tell you that much. So, I mean, it's just a little crazy there. I mean, so.
I mean, you know, it's like we've made jokes about it. You know, we call them the Kremlin and the KGB and the, but it's what it is. It's like it's all disinformation and shrouded in BS and just it's like, you know, control the information and nobody will realize how disappointing we are.
Right.
You know. Anyway.
So what did they say about Chad Johnson?
Something about I'd have to go look it up, but he was so impressive in his first season on Broadway, and he turned a lot of heads, I think was the phrase they used. Turned a lot of heads. Turned his own as he was watching the puck go by.
Really? Seriously? I mean, he was so impressive that we had to go out and get Alex Hold.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, come on. And I see that Mike Zipper heads in the chat room today.
Mike Zippe.
Whatever, Zipperheads. That's what I call them.
Now, so, I see Mike Zippe has appeared in the chat room, and John Newman has disappeared from the chat room.
That was
do the math.
Yeah, do the math.
Now,
jeez.
Getting back to our beloved organization. Just a few short days ago, we lit the candles on the 10th anniversary cake of the Glenn Sather era, regime.
Era, E-R-R-O-R.
Dictatorship, whatever you want to call it. You know, 10 years ago, the Rangers officially became a banana republic. And we talked about this at length yesterday on Blue Shirt Banner. Nick wrote a great article talking about, you know, what the mistakes and all the things that have gone wrong. And there was one gentleman that I want to mention who chimed in with the headline. And I was reading this, and I knew as soon as I saw the headline, I knew there was going to be trouble. His headline was, "Where's the love?" Sather traded two no-name players who never made it to the
for Bure
and a second-round draft pick. That seems fairly genius to me. Bure put up 50 points in 51 games before his body failed him. Similarly, Sather traded absolutely nothing for Lindros, who put up more than a point per game in the first season with the Blue Shirts, then began his decline as his body, too, failed him. Everyone loves the Jágr move because he played to his potential and didn't have to deal with career-threatening injuries. I don't understand why everyone hates a guy who has some of the most exciting prospects coming through the system. Yes, Redden, Gomez, and Drury were atrocious deals, but he flipped one of those into Gabrick. The Kota League deal was erased when Sather traded for Jokinen. So again, what's the problem? So I chimed in. My response, I'll bite, in no particular order, and I only gave him four examples. 1, Hugh Jessamine. 2, Brian Trottier. 3, Ron Lowe. 4, the aforementioned atrocious deals, plus I'll add Roosevelt to the mix. 5, 2 postseason victories in 10 years. Compare this to the real world and put yourself in Glenn's place. If you were a boss and had only turned successful results twice in 10 years, had hired underlings to supervise your workforce who produced no results, and bought supplies for your business at 2 to 3 times what they are worth, would you still have a job? Yes, he flipped Gomez for Gabrick, but let's face it, he found someone else dumb enough to pay Scott Gomez all that money and bail him out of a mistake. There are not enough Bob Gainey's in the world to correct all the mistakes. Credit for recent drafting, on paper, sure. But right now, Chris Kreider, Derek Stepan, Evgeny Grachev, and Ethan Werrick combined have as many goals in a Ranger jersey as I do. When we actually see them perform in the NHL, we can give him the credit he deserves, although the school of thought is that much of that credit goes to Gordy Clark. And then he came back to argue with me that Jessamine was the only bust in the history of high draft picks, to which I responded that maybe I had missed the write-up on the storied careers of Al Montoya, Lee Falardeau, Marc-Andre Cliche, and Antoine Lafleur, and Ivan Baranka, who were all second-round picks, except for Montoya, who was a first-round pick. So, yes, the argument on Blue Shirt Banner yesterday was predominantly anti-Glenn, except for that one guy.
Damn it, boy, it scored. Jesus Christmas! Sorry, Jim, go ahead.
Oh, boy. So, is it 2-1?
Yeah, Daniel Carcillo. That fat-faced bastard.
Carcinogen?
Cardildo. All right. Sorry.
It's all right. All right, so...
That is the
10th anniversary. Happy anniversary, Glenn.
Yeah, I mean, that guy is on lewds if he thinks that Glenn Sather has done a good job. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's just a dumbass comment by somebody who is just freaking ridiculous. I mean, come on, give me a break. This guy has just missed the boat on everything. 10 years. They've never been past the second round. I mean, come on. And really, this is what happens on the ice. Off the ice, they've disenfranchised a whole decade of fans by the way that they treat them. I mean, so it's nonsense. It's absolutely nonsense. So, and Gordy Clark really is the only savior, and luckily we stole him from the Islanders. So it's Daniel Briere they're giving to me as the getting the goal. Cardildo, then Briere has been red hot for the Flyers. You know, you got to give him credit where credit is due. The guy showed up when it counts. I'm starting to think, Jim, we got the wrong guy from the Sabres.
Scores a goal for Tasty Cakes.
Yep, Tasty Cakes. So, I don't know. I was reading this article in Blue Shirt Bulletin, which is a very good paper. I mean, I still read it and have for years. And apparently, there's an article about Schoenfeld's role in the drafting and actually about the aforementioned Matt Zuccarello Osen. Who Steve Zippe has just so brilliantly tabbed as the Frodo from Modo, talking about how Gordy Clark and even Messier and director of player personnel Krista Rockstrom, he's the European director of player, all had a voice in getting the Norwegian Hobbit here. So, it's good to at least, Gordy Clark, and Gordy I trust, because I don't trust anybody else in this organization. They're all freaking pathetic figureheads. They're too old. We need young people in here. Jesus Christmas, get some people in here that are young. You got Mr. Magoo in there. And I still think, like, some Ranger fans are going with messages the wrong way. I don't know. But, hey, anyway, it has to be better. So, anyway. So, that's the scoop.
All right.
And, so, you want to get to the phones? You want to see what people have to say?
Let's open the phones. Let's see. I think this is Robbie. Is that you?
Yeah, it's me. What's going on, guys?
How you doing, Robbie?
Hey, how you doing, Robbie?
Welcome to the show. Robbie, I know you're all excited, so hold on. I'm going to give you a little something here right off the bat, real quick. Let me just pull it up. Bear with me a second here. Here we go.
Meet the Met. Step right up and greet the Met.
How about those Mets, Robbie?
Yeah, looking good. Yeah, too bad they got rained out tonight, though. That really, hopefully that doesn't stop their momentum. But
maybe they could bring Pelfrey back tomorrow night to pitch again.
Well, they got Santana going the second game, Neath the first. So they've been my sole number one sports priority ever since the Rangers got eliminated.
That's been a long time. Seems like a year.
Yeah, it has.
Robbie.
seems like Jokinen missed that shootout goal about 6 months ago, right?
I know.
I'm watching the game right now, and that's where they're on the ice right now. They're playing that right now. It's 2-1. And it's 4-on-4 with 10 to go in the second period.
Okay.
I also wanted to say, Robbie, you have become my sole source for Met information. Now I am a Met fan.
Oh, 2-2. They just tied.
Nice. Yeah!
Let's go, Blackhawks!
Suck it!
I hate them. They just, he put it right to Leighton's leg.
So,
what were you going to say, though?
I was going to say, Robbie, I don't follow baseball anymore because I'm just so wrapped up in hockey now, but I am a Met fan. But so when I hear you, every time you call in, I feel like I'm getting my weeks full of Met info on how they're doing. So I know they did pretty well, and they were doing well lately. So I'm glad that you guys, somebody said Jim looked like the white Stevie Wonder.
Go on.
So thank you for the updates.
You're welcome. I love the Mets, the Jets, the Rangers, and the Knicks, like I said before. I know you guys don't watch basketball, though, but I'm a big Knicks fan. And hopefully that they'll get LeBron, but... But I do have
I don't know who that is.
But I have a question. The 10 years with Sather, what was his worst mistake out of the whole 10 years?
Taking a job.
Answering the phone.
his worst mistake.
It's the writing deal. I think it's the writing deal. I think that's the worst out of it all.
I don't know. I think let the chat room go at that. Somebody vote in, guy who's in this chat room, weigh in on this, because right now I have like 100 answers.
I think it's the writing deal. I mean, 6 years, $39 million, that's pretty bad. But also another thing, who is this Derek Stefan guy that they got? Is he any good?
Is he any good?
Is he any good? Is this show any good? Of course it is. It's top notch.
Does the Pope wear a funny hat?
That's right.
Does John Newman have 20 personalities?
Does John Newman have herpes? Of course. No, he's like herpes. You can't get rid of him. We love him. We love you, Johnny. We love you and your thinning hat. Now,
Zing.
Hey, listen, listen, we give and take, me and Jimmy. I mean... Newman, he'll what you call it. He's calling me Fat Boy. Woohoo!
Oh,
it's all right, Donkey Kong.
Wait till we get Costanza on the line.
All right, anyway. It's called Roll Game.
And one other thing about the Devils, and I want to point this out. They fans like that, because I live in Jersey and I've told you that before, they love to criticize how like the Rangers are always like picked to win, they're do successful by like riders and everything. Let me tell you something. They were really fooling themselves. They were not nearly as good as what they thought or what everyone thinks, especially with the addition of getting Homo Chuck. But
now let's not go there, because we know we do have a strong homosexual base here, and Newman is leading the way.
It's going to be a nice.
Sorry,
I love him.
Me and John are close.
Yeah, he's
not that close. So go ahead. All right. So Kovalchuk, yes. Devils were very disappointing. I don't think anybody thought that the Flyers were getting past that first round. Especially with the goaltending matchups. So, so that's the scoop with that. Yeah. I didn't hear. I heard you, Jessamyn. Somebody said was their worst. He was a Ranger draft pick, a first round bust from Dartmouth. Somebody did also agree with you, Robbie, that Redden was also a big no no. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's just his whole.
I didn't see anybody else mention it, but for me, Brian Trottier.
I was about to say that, and he hired him, and then he was gone. Yeah, that was pretty bad, too.
It was wrong on so many levels. He wasn't qualified for the job. He hired him because of this stupid letter. I would give a week's salary to get a look at that letter that he wrote that convinced Glenn Sather that he was the man for the job. And the guy was an Islander. I mean, he was an Islander. That's the worst move the worst move in 10 in a with a cacophony of disastrous moves. That's the cherry on top.
Right.
Yeah, he was gone after 54 games, right?
Oh yeah.
And then
he was in over his head.
They just took over.
Yeah.
What about? Was he Bobby Holik for $10 million, $9.5 million?
Yeah, but the only thing with the whole week,
$9.5 million, Jim.
But the only thing with the whole week signing, and I've picked on him about it too, but somebody made a good point. That was before the cap. So I did, you know, when you look at it that way, okay,
defensive forward. I mean, come on. No more than 15 golden. 9.5. That's just ludicrous. Even at the time of no salary cap, that was bizarre.
Just not as bad as Trottier, though.
No.
I think Redden was the worst. Oh, it's pretty close. I don't know, because Trottier won 4 with those fish sticks over there on Long Island.
Doesn't matter. I don't give a shit what he did on Long Island.
Hey, hello with the language.
All right, Robbie, we're gonna... Go ahead. No, make your last point. We're going to take some other calls.
Any word of them moving to Queens or Kansas City yet? Anything?
I'll be in Kansas. I will be in.
Well, I was going to say Islanders in Queens. That joke is too easy.
Right next to City Field, I'll be bad. All right, I'll let you go. Let's go Rangers. Let's go Mets, Jim, and let's go hope the Blackhawks can take this right here in Philadelphia.
You got it, Robbie.
Take care, Robbie.
You too. Bye-bye.
It wasn't me that cursed, ladies and gentlemen.
It was my
partner.
Might Robbie have been a little too young to get my Queens joke?
Yes, he didn't get it.
I think it went over his head. That's all right.
Don't worry about it. He'll listen to this broadcast years. He'll say, you remember that wacky show I used to call into as a teenager? And he'll listen and he'll say, wow, Queens, I finally get it. You know? So Robbie, of course, adding in some great stuff. Now, I know we got some, the great Claude is in here, if I'm correct. I always have trouble with his screen name. The great Claude is, do you have that clip of Claude who called in a couple of weeks ago?
That was Claude?
That's right. I thought it was Donald Brashear. Well, can you have that clip so we can play it for the folks who missed it? It was Don Washier called him to the show.
You know, I'd pay good money for a functional switchboard here.
Don't be haters and say I suck when y'all know I'm quick on the puck. Sager said I could be a ranger. Now you punks treat me like I'm a stranger. Yeah. Oh, what's up?
Don Washier taking the time to call in.
Yeah, that was nice of him. We liked when he called in.
Yeah. I like the, oh yeah.
Oh yeah. All right. Let's take another phone call. Let's go to the 201 area code. This is a, come on, freaking switchboard. There we go. Costanza, are you there? Hello? Eddie, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
No,
I don't know. That was Newman the sound of...
Newman hung up.
Newman hung up?
Yep.
I thought that was the sound of hair follicle falling off his head.
All right. Dave from Blue Seat Blogs, you are on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. How are you?
I am doing fabulous. How are you?
Doing good.
We're doing good. We're laughing up here.
I want to know how nobody mentioned trading up to get Korpikoski and not drafting,
yeah.
I don't know, Zajac or Mike Green or anybody who came after Korpikoski. How is that not listed on one of his awful four-letter word I can't say on the air ups?
You know, I always forget that they traded up to draft him. I always forget that.
It cost them a second-round pick?
Yeah.
And we traded up, and we got Enver Leesen out of him. Thank you. He sucks.
Oh. Yeah. Garbage in and garbage out. Yeah, no, that's a good point. You know, that is. Lauri Korpikoski is not... And I see the Loon Rangers.
The Corpedo.
The Corpedo. When a guy stinks, he doesn't deserve a nickname. I'm sorry. I hate that. And you know, speaking of guys that I think, I said this on Facebook this week about Blair Betts. Everybody has love for Blair Betts. I mean, seriously. I mean, he was a penalty killer. That's all he did. There was no chance of him ever scoring. Why are we hearts ripped out that Blair Betts is not on the team anymore? I know
Blair Betts is not
effort.
A good player. He's a good defensive player. He is not this savior that everybody makes him out to be. He wasn't going to fix the Rangers, all right? His time had run out. You want Byers on the team? You want Weiss on the team? Fine. Betts had to go.
Right. And the thing is that, I mean, it's not like Betts, all right, he took a good punch, let's put it that way. But the thing is, though, if he's so great, how come nobody wanted to sign him in the offseason? He basically had to try out for the Flyers, and he almost didn't make the cut. He made the final cut. So, I mean, you know, it's not like the Rangers, you know, they missed out on the great Blair Betts. I mean, you know, I think he's an excellent penalty killer. But other than that, I think he's completely, you know, he's a dud. But once again, if a Ranger player shows effort, which was so not – really used to seeing, we kind of, people, fans immediately fall in love with this guy. But the guy is like, you know, come on.
That's why everybody like Jed Ortmeier.
Right. Jed Ortmeier is another one. They call him the team mascots. They mentioned Todd Harvey. He was one of those. I thought the other guy, who was the guy we had? The mascot, Ryan Holwig. The
Holwig.
Same thing.
Oh.
Yeah, like guys that... They come out and they bang, but, you know, they come out for their 4 minutes, 3 minutes of play time, they bang. Big deal. They're never going to score.
Playoff series. And Ryan Hall, it cost us a playoff series. That's
right.
Stupid cross check from behind. What an idiot.
You're still not forgiving him.
No, I'm not going to forgive him for that because that was one of our only years where we actually had a legitimate shot. Him and Marek Milik.
Oh,
what a – who passes the puck up the middle against Buffalo, really? Jackass.
Yeah.
The wounds are still deep, even in the middle of June. We're still talking Ranger, lamenting Ranger buffoonery from years past. I love it.
Well, it just kind of came to me again because I'm thinking of the playoffs and thinking of the 04 fire sale that turned into Dubinsky and Dubinsky, and I'm thinking about how we're not going to be good next year.
Yeah, we got a lot of clowns in that fire sale.
We got nothing in that fire sale. And it's funny because Washington also had a fire sale. They picked up 3 first-round picks in which they got Ovechkin, obviously. They got Green, obviously, and they got Jeff Schultz. And they got Brooks Lake, and they got Tomas Fleischmann, I think. They got a ton of people in that draft or in that fire sale. And look at us. We don't have that core.
I know, that's true. That's a good point. I wouldn't.
But we could have had, you know, either Schultz or Green. You know, if we drafted it properly, we could have had Parise and Zajac.
And just going back to which does address what you're saying. Just going back to one of the say the moves. You know, in that fire sale, it was Brian Leetch who was fired on his birthday. I'm not fired. Traded on his birthday. While he was on the road with a phone call from Glenn Sather. And that's the way you want to put Brian Leetch out. The guy should have retired a Ranger, and he's lucky he's got enough forgiveness in him to even be hanging around Madison Square Garden where Mr. Magoo is still running the show over there. So that to me was a disgrace, letting Brian Leetch go. I know Brian had pretty much exhausted all his talent then, but I still think it would have been nice to see him be a lifetime Ranger. I mean, do you guys agree with me or disagree with
me? He should have been a lifetime Ranger. No way around it.
Yeah, you don't trade the greatest player in the history of your franchise.
Yeah, he was my idol when I grew up, and they traded him. I was in college. I almost cried. Chicago just scored.
Yes,
Woo-hoo!
Baby!
Four.
Yeah!
I hear my wife yelling from inside the house.
Here's my traditional Philly. Suck it. Even
I just saw this come up in the chat room. The Pody for York trade was actually a good trade.
Well,
it actually was.
We have debated that. It's been debated, but not we have debated that. Mike York didn't go on to do what he did in New York. We know that.
No, he turned out to be horrible. He can't even crack an NHL roster anymore.
Right. No. But he was a fan favorite at the time. And
yeah, he was
a
fan favorite.
A lot of Ranger fans at the time.
And turned out to be a good player. And Tom Pody, in the end, turned out to be a pretty decent defenseman. He blocked more shots than any Ranger on the team in his final year.
Well, you know, Dave, I agree with you. I think Dave, I think Tom... got a little more. He got the Harry Howell syndrome in here. He was a big guy. He was expected to hit. He didn't hit. He wasn't physical. He did struggle. I don't think he was the greatest of players, but he surely wasn't as bad as some of the dopes we're watching now. And listen, he's on the Capitals, you know, and he's scoring goals against us in the playoffs. I'm not laughing. You know, I was at the Capital game last year. 2 years ago in the playoffs when he scored, and the fans are still yelling, "Pody sucks" after he scored against us. I'm like, don't you realize this guy just scored against us? He's got the last laugh. I mean, it's ridiculous. How dumb sometimes we can be as Ranger fans. Not me and not the people in this chat room because they're goddamn excellent. All right, so there it goes.
I don't know who scored that goal for the Blackhawks, but it was an absolutely perfect redirection. I just opened the door and saw the highlights.
I think it was Sharp.
Was it?
Patrick Sharp?
I think. I can't tell who that is in front of the net. But Sharp was one of the first guys to go over to whoever the hell number 4 is. I can't pronounce his last name. Rasmussen, I think. Rasmussen. Whatever the hell his name is.
The Rasmussen pole?
Rasputin?
Rasputin? Well, And Cutter, my friend Jeff, is talking about Harry Howell, but, you know, the fans really got on him here. They did it. They were like, hit him with your purse, Harry. I mean, from all the people that we saw, actually, Emil Francis told us that, I think, that they would just berate him, even though he's a Hall of Fame defenseman. So New York's a tough place to play. You got to have thick skin.
Why do you think Redden can't seem to handle it?
Oh, he's just
done. Sticks.
He's just so done. Oh my God, he's just awful. I can't even. It's not even his salary, Dave, anymore.
He's like Newman. He doesn't go away.
Well,
Andrew Ladd. Listen, Andrew
I
Ladd got the goal. By the way,
what?
Andrew Ladd.
Andrew Ladd.
Alan Ladd.
Alan Ladd.
Alan Ladd.
So Andrew Ladd gets the goal. Shame! But now, if anyone gets that reference, then you're really. What's that? The Mike Dunham trade is up there. Mike
I just
Dunham.
Saw the Mike Dunham trade. Throwing in Marek Zidlicky for the hell of it. Hey, why not have him? We don't know who the hell he is.
Yeah, we could have had a power play defenseman for 10 years. Hey, come on. Yeah, Mike Dunham. He was that guy. Oh, my God. The rebounds that guy used to give up were like unbelievable. I mean, Dunn and Dunham. Yeah, Mike Dunham. Barb. Hey, we're bringing back some real characters from the old Ranger repertoire. Yeah, I love it.
Hey, Dave, before we let you go, I know you always like to hear this, so I'll play this for you.
Awesome. New York Thanks. Rangers have agreed to terms with Aaron Voros, Patrick Rismiller, Steve Valiquette, Michael Roosevelt, and Wade Redden.
Whoopee!
About $13 million. That's three goals a year. Thank you.
Oh, the humanity! Aaron Voros, the official drinking buddy of Sean Avery.
The people's champ.
People's chump. Yeah. And we've had Blackburn on the show. I see Zach's mentioning it. Zach, who is endorsing one Stan Fishface today. He's saying Stan is a big hockey fan. Guess what? Stan isn't. Follow the Money is where Stan is. Stan is not a hockey fan. If you read his last book, I've read Burger King placemats that are more interesting.
All right, Dave, we're going to take another call. We'll talk to you later. Thanks. Hey, welcome back, by the way.
Thank you very much, and thanks for having me on.
Anytime.
No
we'll talk to you later.
Take care.
Bye, guys.
All right, speaking of Zach, I believe this is him. Zach, welcome to the program.
What's going on, guys?
The Big Show. How are you?
I am just great. How about you?
Good. So what is this love affair you have with Stan Fischler?
Okay, Stan Fischler loves hockey, aside from subways and all that. He loves hockey. He doesn't have a particular allegiance to a specific team. Sure, we would like him to be extremely knowledgeable and love the Rangers, but that's not the case. He likes the New York hockey, Rangers, Islanders, Devils, yes, the Flyers as well, and any team that he thinks is going to do well in the season. He talks a lot of hockey. He knows a lot about hockey. I met him a few years ago, and he knows his stuff. You may disagree with him. We all disagree with everybody here. People here even disagree with me. But he knows his stuff. He may have been excited back in the 1970s when the Islanders scored, but, hey, it was TV, all right? He's allowed to be excited.
Okay. You've had your say, and now I'm going to rebut your comments.
All right, your turn.
Stan Fischler does know a lot about hockey, or did at one time. He doesn't know anything anymore. Everything about right now about Stan Fischler is fraudulent. He doesn't tweet his own tweets. He has quote-unquote interns do them for him. He doesn't write his own stories anymore. He has his quote-unquote interns write it for him. Stan is a surly bastard who has to be absolute and crass and argumentative.
What the hell are you talking about, argumentative? I don't argue with anybody. I'm an old man, damn it.
Right there. Now, you might say, and I met Stan when I picked up his Burger King placemat at a signing. Nice gentleman. But again, with the being confrontational with yours truly, I said, I enjoy you on the NHL live show. And he's like, what do you like about it? Like I'm lying to him. I tell him, I said, I like to see you interact. I like to see your facial expressions on the thing when you deal with a caller. It's like, well, what kind of expressions? I said, well, I just like when you use your hands or whatever. I'm not, it's like, now it's turning into a full-blown interrogation. You're lucky you even showed up to this Cosby dump where they have him now. And Jim will back me up on this. He has approached people that write for the banter. I mean, young kids, you know, to
hey, Nikki, why don't you come write for me and do my NHL coverage? I'll put my name on it, damn you.
And it's true. So,
I can understand why you don't like the first thing, where he doesn't tweet his own tweets. He has people do it for him. Well,
I do my own goddamn tweeting. Shut your mouth.
He's an old man. He probably doesn't know what email is.
I used to tweet Abe Lincoln.
Jack, listen. You can love him. I'm not going to try to convince you. I just heard enough stories from people in the know that work with him on a daily basis to tell you the man is not a nice man. He's not a nice man. So, you know, if you respect him for his hockey knowledge, yeah, I do. But when he says he's a lifelong Ranger fan and he knows the Rangers better than anybody, it's not true. Emil Francis knows the Rangers better than anybody. And Emil Francis even had enough of Stan Fischler and kicked him and his wife out of the Ranger Media Corps back in the 60s and early 70s.
Really?
So, yeah. He took his credentials away because Stan wanted his wife. And him and his wife, they write a lot of these books together. I think his wife writes more than he does. And, Stan wanted to get press credentials for his wife. Emil said, okay, that's fine. But then Stan goes, well, my wife wants to go into the locker room. Now, back in the 60s and early 70s, women in the locker room was not allowed.
Yeah, that I know.
Right. So Amy was like, get out of here, Stan. Both of you, you're out. he threw him out. Although Emil says they did patch things up later on. And I'll just say one other thing. I talked to this guy who was the former a Devil PR director, a PR man. I mean, like the contemporary of John Halligan for the Rangers. And he worked with Stan closely during the Devils when they first came in the league. And he said that that right now, at that time, he couldn't even consider Stan a human being. He was that miserable to work with. So,
what are you talking about?
Wow.
So, I mean, if these guys wouldn't have told me this stuff, and then I see him trying to use young kids and people who have, quote unquote, interns, and he's like, he goes through these guys like you wouldn't believe. These kids and people, he kind of says, oh, I'll give you a break, write for me, and then he does nothing. So, anyway, that's my take on him. We can agree to disagree on this. How about that?
All right. He's still pretty knowledgeable about hockey, though.
Oh, he knows this stuff.
Yeah.
But everything past 1980, I don't trust him on.
Okay.
You listen to me, Zach. You listen to Stan Fischer.
Zach, thank you for the kind words. There'll be a little something for you in the mail this week.
Fischer, you watch it. That's mine.
Me and my wife used to write books. I wrote the Bible.
You guys are nuts.
All right, Zach.
Thanks. Put me on hold. The last 5 minutes, I want to do play-by-play.
Okay, all right,
go,
we'll
go, baby.
All right, go
on. Wait, are you on a cell phone?
I'm on a cell phone, yeah.
Well, are you getting free minutes? I don't want to burn up your minutes. You can call back if you want.
Yeah, I guess I'll call back. I mean, I'll get free minutes after 9, but I'll call back later.
Okay, call back in a little bit. We'll put you right on.
All right, definitely.
Okay.
Later.
Later. That was the president of the Stan Fischler fan club, better known as Zach. Yeah. I love that guy. He's a good boy.
God.
I should get him to write for me.
You probably will, Stan. You probably will. We have here, you know, Cutter TML is doing a good thing here. Like, every time we mention something, he's becoming like the Blue Shirt Banner Wikipedia. Like, we talk about Fischler, he starts putting up little facts about Fischler. I like this. He's a good feature. We might have to put him on the payroll.
Speaking of interns, maybe he's going to become our intern.
Yeah.
He could be our Ganji or Stuttering John or, you know, something like that.
Why not?
We could send him out and have him do interviews, you know.
Well, he's in Toronto. So,
well, that's all right. You know,
send him
we
on location
could,
when the Rangers play the Leafs.
You know, we could get him to, you know, like those Stuttering John questions that he used to ask. Like he could ask a defenseman, you know, if he ever farted in a goalie's face or something like that.
Oh, yeah, that's real classy, real classy. You're bringing the show up to a new level here. Come on. Ridiculous. That's an idea, though.
All right, we got another call on the line here. 516-754. You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
What's up, guys? It's John, better known as Rock 1193.
What's up, Rock?
Can you smell what the Rock is cooking? What's up? What's up, John? How are you?
Good, Jimmy. How you doing?
Good.
Just wanted to thank you. I mean, James Patrick was amazing last week. I mean, I could listen to that guy talk for hours.
I don't know.
I wanted to punch Mike Keenan in the face after the interview for how he treated him. But
yeah,
I just thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, and you know what's funny is that you got the feeling that, you know, James just rolled it off his back, it almost sounded like. Or he was being damn diplomatic, I'll tell you that. And
I don't think he was.
You know.
No, he told it like it was. I was actually surprised that he said exactly word for word what happened. You know,
yeah.
I just thought it was fascinating, and you know, I just thought it was really BS the way he was treated after basically going to those teams in the 80s, which basically he was probably the best defenseman on the team for about a good 8-year span before Leach came, and the way he was ushered out the door, I thought was a disgrace. You know?
Yeah,
John, you know what I thought was funny too when we asked him about Ted Sater.
Oh yeah,
how I mean it was he was really struggling to be diplomatic. I mean, his words were so measured. There's no better way to describe it. He completely like slowed down, and you know, it were pauses. He was just trying to come up with the absolute best way to say what he was trying to say, without flat out saying, you know, Sater was just an idiot. We all hated him, but it was really
very
funny.
Very diplomatic about it. But I don't know. James Patrick's 13th all-time in scoring in Rangers history. You know, 85 years of Ranger hockey, 13th all-time. I don't think people realize the career that he had with this team over a 10-year span. To, you know, to be 13th
yeah.
all-time, and with all the players and all the guys that they've had, for him to be 13th all-time, I think is incredible. I mean, I don't think people really know how truly great his career was. So,
That's amazing. See, I didn't know that stat. And if you think about that, that is quite a feat. And he's a guy that if you talk to some Ranger fans, he's a guy the Blue Cedar did not like. For whatever reason, they didn't take to him. I don't know why. I remember a gentleman. Well, he wasn't a gentleman because he was a, you know, sometimes, and I mean this in a very good way. Well, in a good way, I guess. I may not come out that way. But you ever meet a Ranger fan? You like them that they're a Ranger fan, but they're really not the most bright people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, they kind of like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, they love the team, but they don't know anything about the team. And you know, that's cool. Whatever level you like the team is fine with me. But this guy was adamant about, we were looking at the Ranger 100 greats, and he's in there, James Patrick. Said, oh, he don't belong in there. Any true Blue Cedar knows that he was a piece of crap. I go, what? I go, he
teams
played 20 years
in
the NHL. What?
He played on bad teams.
Yeah.
He played on some pretty bad teams. I mean, you know, I mean, those 80s teams were brutal. I mean, some of the guys, some of his defensive partners were horrible. I don't know. I think that he's just got a bum rap because of, I think, the teams he played on. Playing in football.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You should ask them to take Chris Drury back to Buffalo with them.
Yeah.
I would have loved for you if they asked him that, guys. If you would ask him, they ask him what happened to this guy that he just totally just fell off. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I wanted Chris Drury here. I didn't want Gomez by any stretch. I'm tired of the devil retreads. I'm sick of him. But I wanted Chris Drury here, and I would have liked for you, if you have him on next time, maybe you can just throw that question at him, like, what happened to this guy that he just can't seem to – he doesn't hit the net anymore. Everything's a slap shot or a tip-in. How many goals did he score that's a deflection? It's not even – you know, and he's a killer shot. He used to kill in face-offs. He's horrible in face-offs now, especially defensive zone face-offs. I just like to get his opinion. I mean, he was his coach for a few years. You know, what happened to Chris Drury?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, that was on my list, and I didn't get to it. It's like, what happened? Just like you put it, what the hell happened to this guy? So maybe you can mention
that to him the next time. You guys read the yeah, that'd be great. I can't hardly wait for that. Maybe you can take some phone calls. I'm just kidding. Did you guys read the Post article with Larry Brooks over the weekend with the Sailor? Larry Brooks seems to be able to get Sailor to give an interview. I don't know how you guys perceived it. I'm going to give you my observation on how Sailor spoke about this, and this is how I gathered this from this article. I screwed the salary cap so badly.
It's funny that the guy that's the most critical of Sailor is the one he talks to.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what it is? Let's be honest. I mean, the Daily News at this point is a joke. Since Della Pina left, this guy basically over now, I don't know him personally. I've met Larry Brooks a couple of times. I've met Zippe. I've spoken to them. You know, this Della Pina used to have great stories. He used to, like, break news. This guy's basically just retreading whatever everyone else is kind of throwing out there. So I think from a hockey's perspective, Larry Brooks is really the only one in town who – covers the Rangers on a regular basis that, I guess, doesn't work for Cablevision, because, let's be honest, Zippe is owned, Newsday is owned by Cablevision.
Yeah.
So how critical could he possibly be?
Don't forget about Andrew Gross.
Oh, I apologize. You're right. I'm thinking of the three New York papers. My apologies to Jersey.
I'll agree with Carpinella. Yeah, and Carpinella, but he can't, unfortunately, they've cut his budget so much that he can't cover the Rangers full time. And you're right about Obenauer, but he did write a great article last week about the 10th anniversary of the Sather hiring. I didn't think he had that kind of article in him.
No, neither did I, and I'll be honest with you. I mean, like I said, that was the first time I've seen something original, something different that wasn't like just a retread from an interview that he did like with all of the beat writers. I just thought that was interesting that he actually had something –
I agree with you. Obenauer is a little bit, you know, he's really a nothing.
He's probably still green. He's probably still learning his ways.
Right.
We had Frank Brown before that, who was a pretty good hockey guy for the Daily News. Right. And then we had Della Pina. So we've been spoiled for the last, I don't know, 15, 16, 20 years, however long they were at the paper for. But we've been spoiled with that. So he's probably a little bit green at this point.
Was this the article where Sather was saying to the Ranger fans, we're going to go with the youth. Is this the article we're talking about?
This is what I'm trying to gather, and this, maybe you guys can help me dissect this for a second. He's saying that he wants to give young guys jobs. Now, in the same breath, he's telling you he's bringing back Shelley. He wants to bring back Shelley. He wants to bring back Prosper. You know, I mean, I'd be surprised if he let Christensen go under the circumstances of how Christensen had, you know, towards the tail end of the season. He wants to – where are these guys playing? If you look at their roster, they brought in this Norwegian kid, Matt Zeller, I don't know how to pronounce his name, but they brought in him. Where's their roster spaces to bring anyone else into this team? And you still don't have a number one center. You have no secondary scoring to help Gavrik out. How are you improving this team by just bringing back the same exact team you had from last year? Now, Prosper was great. He's 34 years old. He was great. He had a great season. He probably will come very cheap because Tampa Bay is paying his salary. My point is that don't you think you need someone, if you want to get younger, but you're going to bring another 35-year-old guy just because he's going to come back at a discount price? I mean, I don't understand
that.
Yeah, there's
going to be a tough decision with them whether, okay, do we keep Prosper? He played well, but, and he may help us get to the playoffs. God forbid we make the playoffs. But, you know, or do we cut bait with him and just say, listen, we're going to stick by what we said, and we're going to just throw, we're going to bring up young kids. And, yep, you mentioned with Jody Shelley. I also find it curious that we have Chicago in the Stanley Cup Finals, who is a very youthful team, that he decides to say to the Ranger fans, hey, guess what? We're going with the youth. We're going to be just like the Blackhawks.
Yeah,
but then
but
again,
Chicago also has Marian Hossa. They have Patrick Schaub.
Right.
They have Brent Sokol, who was on waivers. I wish the Rangers would have gotten him. He's a great, steady defenseman. I mean, they do have some older
right.
players mixed in to
right.
that core, but they're not 34 years old.
Right. But they took a lot of years of being, come on, you know, cellar dwellers. You know,
oh, yeah, of course.
To get a lot of their elite players. And I think that's – but then again, it's a good point out that right after he says that, he's talking about Shelley and he's talking about Prosper. So you don't know what's going on. I don't think he – I'm going to be honest with you guys. And I don't know any other way to be, but I think he doesn't know what he's talking about. I think he says what's on his – what he thinks people want to hear at that particular time, and the next day he's thinking something else, and you could see him go UFA crazy and then have – I don't even know how much room they have to work with. They don't have that much money when they have to resign Stahl and Girardi. I don't know what they're going to have.
Not only that, but they still got Brashear on the books, and they have Patrick Rissmiller. They're paying these two guys, between the two of them, $2.4 million tied up in two guys. They're not even going to be on the roster next year.
No,
Brashear's
money's off the books.
No, he's an over 35-year-old guy. So his money stays on the books even if he goes down to Hartford. He's over 35 contract. So they stay on the books for the summer anyway because they have a one-way contract. So they're still on the books, both of those guys.
You're right. I apologize.
No, Jimmy, no. I believe me, I'm just... Just that's all I look at is the salary cap. I get sick to my stomach to think of all the wasted money that's on there.
I like that, John. You just bitch slap Jimmy. Jimmy, you think you know everything?
I don't pretend. Believe me, I don't pretend to know everything. I don't pretend to know anything.
Sorry. I'm getting a little goofy here. Sorry about that.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute, Mr. Oh, Steve Baker, you went to Yale? Oh, no, I never went to Yale.
What is that on that freaking the research on the internet that Steve Zippe hates?
Hey, well, Steve Zippe told you don't listen to the internet. Do you listen to Steve Zippe? The inventor of the Frodo from Moto.
Well, like I said, Steve Zippe has his paycheck coming from Dolan, so he's a little kimpy word I'm looking for. He has to kind of be careful in what he says. So,
yeah.
But I give him credit because he does try to, other than all those blog costs, $5 a month, which I won't dare to spend or give the guard any more of my money, he does try to keep things interested with the team during the offseason. What was that?
I was going to say, who's subscribing to that?
I think there was nine people the last time I checked. Nine people were subscribed.
I mean... Not for nothing, but I mean, why would you pay? And this is, you know, this isn't even meant to slam Steve Zippe, but why would you pay for information off his blog that you can get for free from the New York Post online or the Daily News online or the Bergen Record? I mean, you're not getting any, you know, I mean, most of the information that happens, you know. Oh, wow. You get a live chat with us for free every week.
Oh, believe me, I know.
A hell of a lot more entertaining than talking to him. And he don't actually talk to you. He chats to you.
Preaches to you. But I definitely know what you guys are saying. But the salary cap, like I said, is something that I think would say this. I mean, listen, I mean, he always keeps things close to the vest. I mean, he never really lets his cards loose. I mean, last year I was trying to find something from last year, you know, quotes from last year, and I realized he never spoke to the media last year either.
No.
There were no quotes from Say the last year until he traded Gomez. And then he decided to make this big speech about, oh, now we have salary cap, we have money on the salary cap. And then Marcus Nassar did him a favor and retired. So,
right.
You know, they got lucky. They got lucky last year. So I really think
he's
just praying that someone from Hartford saves his ass this year.
Well,
and I really hope he's not hoping that Derek Stefan's the savior and they exploit this kid. I really hope they give him a chance to develop.
John, talking about speaking to the media, have you ever heard the – I've told this story a couple of times. Have you ever heard the story I tell from the draft last year?
No. I'm surprised I haven't.
I was at the draft, and I'm down in the, you know, in the tunnel underneath there where the picks are, you know, the draft picks come out to do their press conferences, whatever. And all of a sudden, a buzz started among the Ranger beat writers. Zippe was there. Larry Brooks was there. Obernauer was there, and Jim Cerny from Rangers.com. And this buzz started, I guess it was the second day of the draft, maybe after the fifth round, that Glenn was coming out to talk to the media. And you would have thought that the Beatles were reuniting on the floor of the Bell Center and that Jesus Christ himself was going to introduce them. I mean, it was like, Glenn's coming. Oh, have you heard? Did you hear anything about when Glenn's coming out? I mean, one of the guys, I won't say who, was asking me, and I'm like, no. I mean, so what? He's coming out to talk. What? So what? Big deal. It was like, I mean, like I said, it was like Jesus himself was ascending down amongst the commoners to speak. And you know, they all crowded around him, and he said a few words. And I kind of drifted over, and I listened, and they were talking about Nick Antropov's contract demands at the time. And I walked away. I said, well, there's nothing really interesting here.
John talked about – I'm sorry to interrupt your story.
No, it's okay.
Talked about no quotes last year from Glenn, but I think we have one concerning Brashear, don't we, on audience.
Oh.
You haven't heard this one, John?
Have you heard this one?
I have heard. I really don't want to hear it again. I can't.
Oh, you're going to have
And why Brashear rather than Orr?
Well, we think that Brashear gives you a couple of other things. He's quicker. He can get in on the puck a little faster. And under the style of game that we're going to be playing, we just think that he's going to be a little more effective for us.
Oh God! When I saw that signing last year, I really wanted to throw up. I just couldn't believe it. I thought it was a joke. I really thought it was a joke. I thought it was a misinformation. I just couldn't believe that they brought this guy in here.
I know.
It's totally unbelievable.
Yeah, that one.
What
hurt.
Did they think was going to happen? I mean, come on. I mean, did they really think that this guy, the fans would embrace this guy?
No.
I mean, not that Blair Betts was, you know.
I think the fans would have embraced him if he had anything left. He had nothing left.
Yeah.
Oh,
did you guys happen to see the thing on MSG, the countdown with all the fights?
No, I missed it.
I heard about it.
Funny. It was actually pretty good.
I heard Nick Fatigue was a part of it.
Nick Fatigue was a lot of Nick Fatigue there. Brashear in the countdown.
What?
They actually have Brashear in the frigging countdown.
What was he fighting to tie his shoes?
He was fighting, I think he was fighting Matt Carkner, Terry Carkner's cousin. He looked like he lost the fight. I said, I can't believe they actually put this on there. He still looks like he lost the fight.
He would have been better off fighting Matthew Broderick.
Yeah, probably.
I like that. That's not a fight that he loses.
They also had the Domi Probert fight, which was ridiculous. They did a countdown at 60, and I'm actually glad that they got it. I love 94. I'll never forget 94. It'll be if they never win another cup, I'll go to my grave happy, just knowing that I was able to see that. But it was nice finally showing some different games. They actually showed a 5-5 tie from the 91-92 season, the Rangers versus. Detroit on MSG. It was a great game. 5-5 score. I'll tell you, that 91-92 team had some strange, I mean, just a weird tandem of people. Had Tim Kerr, Randy Moeller, Paul Broughton. Had a weird group of guys that were on that team. It was like the transition between the Kelly Kissio, John O'Grodnik era into the Messier era. So it was a kind of a weird group of guys. But it was so nice to see something different on MSG that they had to throw 94 out there, which is fantastic. I'll never get tired of watching those games. But it's nice to finally see a different game, even if they don't win. It's still just great to see some of those older games. Tim Shevelday was in goal, and you can see why guys like Bernie Nichols and Rick Vibe scored 40 goals in the 80s. These goaltenders were brutal, even into the early 90s. They were really bad.
Yeah, they were, but, let's face it, nowadays the equipment is just so big. The jerseys are big. I try to give the older goalies a break. But, nowadays, too, if you want to talk about the goaltenders, these kids are coached from, when they first, learn to skate to be a goalie. They have a goalie coach. It's a whole new era. So these kids just grow up, learning goalie. I mean, in the old days, they used to put the guy who couldn't skate the best in net, and that's where you played. I tend to agree with you that some of them are some of the goalies back then were pretty bad, but I give them a break because of the equipment, and this was a different era.
If you happen to check this game out, I'm sure they'll have it on the countdown again over the summer on MSG. For all the Jeff Bookaboom fans out there, he was on the ice for 4 goals against.
He had
a horrible game.
Nice.
Jeff Bookaboom, their fans loved him because he hit people, and myself included. He was a great Ranger and a great defenseman, and the way his career ended was a shame. But I'll tell you, him and Leach on the ice together was an adventure. I don't know, a lot of people don't remember that. They were on the ice for a lot of goals against. But I just thought that was funny.
I ain't going to tell Jeff Bookaboom that. I'll tell you what. I met Jeff Bookaboom in person, I swear. His Stanley Cup rings are bigger than my fat head. I mean, he's huge. I mean, I'm talking gigantic huge. Huge with a capital U.
Y-O-O-J, huge.
Yes.
As Bugs Bunny used to say. All right, John. Listen,
all right, guys, thanks again.
Take another call.
I'll talk to you guys next week, all right? Have a good one, all right? Hopefully we have
all right,
more to talk about next week. Good.
Take care.
Later.
All right, that was John and. What were you going to say?
The roll call.
We have one. We have one more call on hold, and he's been on hold for a few minutes. You want to take the call first, and then do the roll call? All right. I think this is Pete. 520. You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
This is Pete.
Oh, hey Pete. Pete in Tucson.
Pete. Yeah, I haven't talked to you guys in a couple of weeks, maybe a month.
Yeah, well, glad to hear from you.
Are you having nice hockey weather down there like I am up here in Phoenix?
It's about 108 down here right now.
Brutal.
But it's only going to be 92 on Saturday. I love it.
It's a freaking dry heat, okay?
it's
not bad. It's not really bad until it gets over until it gets over 105. It's pretty comfortable, actually, when it's dry.
Yeah,
but anyway. What's going
I've
on, Pete?
I've been there. It's not like that. Maybe after you live there for a while.
The last time
think?
I called in with you guys, I was.
You got to adjust. You were hostile?
Because the Rangers missed the freaking playoffs again. And I got to listen to all these people that, we need Spezza. We need Eric Staal. We need this guy. We need that guy. We need to spend $10 million on this guy. And everybody's, trying to dismiss the fact that. Derek Stepan is going to be 21 years old by the time the season rolls around. The guy's won everywhere he's played, I mean, why do we need to spend another $10 million on another guy, another vagabond, what I'm saying?
I mean, I love that word.
It's funny. The guy that called before, I was just on, he was talking about James Patrick, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you realize the Rangers have one guy in their whatever year history it is that scored 1,000 points? One guy in the history of the team. One guy has 1,000 points, okay, in this storied franchise of the Rangers.
It's storied, all right.
I love him. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I bleed blue. But the bottom line, the point that I'm trying to make here is enough of these guys, enough of the Marlowes and the Stalls. Let's build our own team. Let's put Step on in training camp and see what the kid can do. If the kid outshines the Christensens and the Parentos and all these other cycled bums we've brought in, give the guy a chance to play. You know you're going to have growing pains, but in my opinion, the payoff is greater than the opposite of the payoff, okay? It's worth the risk. He's going to be 21 years old. He's not a kid anymore, okay?
Right.
There's 18-year-olds playing in the NHL now. 21 is like a veteran.
Okay, well, Pete, let me just ask you a question, and this is not to disagree with you. I just want your opinion on this because we've talked about this before. And do you think Michael Delzato was he ready? Was it too soon for him, or should he have spent another year in the OHL? And I'm just asking for your opinion. There's no right or wrong answer.
Honestly, I think that every player has a talent level. Okay, they have a current talent level and they have a talent ceiling. Okay, and I think that Delzato's game, although you know we had to take some lumps here and there, I think his game was above the OHL. Okay, so the Rangers had to make a decision: do they send him to the OHL? And you know, what else can he learn when the talent level is not where he's at? He's above that talent level. They couldn't send him to the AHL because then he would have to pass through waivers because of the entry level contract. The Rangers, in my opinion, did the right thing by letting him play on the Rangers. The problem with that, though, is the Rangers didn't have the right type of guys around him on the blue line. I've been saying that for a long time. I mean, Redden is a bum, okay? You know I don't like him. I don't think any Ranger fan likes him. Roosevelt, at times, he's a frustrating guy, but he seems to, at times, play well. So if they had the right type of guys for him to play with, I think maybe we wouldn't have seen so many mistakes. But I think they did the right thing. Yes, I do think they did the right thing.
Okay, that's a good answer, I think.
I mean, again, it's like Grachev. The guy's huge, okay? Evgeny Grachev is a huge player, okay? But he could skate. How many 6'4" forwards can skate as well as he can at his age, okay?
Okay.
That's a rare thing. And,
yeah.
You know, everybody wants us to go out and get Marlowe and all these guys, and no one realizes the talent level of the prospects that the Rangers have. These guys are good. You know, Kreider
right.
is good. Stepan is good. Grachev is good. These guys are going to be NHL players. Where they end up slotting, that's, you know, that comes with coaching. And do we have the right coaching? Do we have the right, you know, development process? That's the question we really need to be asking ourselves. You know, and everybody
Good. Well, let me address. I get your point, And I'm going to tell you, I agree wholeheartedly with the free agent thing. Ranger fans, there is a contingent of Ranger fans out there that love the new shiny toy. Who are we going to get? Well, who are we going to trade for? And as a matter of fact, when the trading deadline comes and goes, I love it because that ends all that stupid speculation and trade rumors. I want them to build from within, and they're doing it. Despite
right.
themselves. Gordy Clark's got this team in the right direction.
I agree
with you. Grachev, I felt the same way you did in the preseason. He looked like he was ready to play. But then I started to talk to some experts and scouts. And they told me he's not ready to play in the NHL yet.
That's okay. I don't expect that because, again, it's, you know, he's 6'3". He's over 200
right.
pounds. He's learning a new position. He's always
right.
played center. Now he's playing wing. Okay?
They
and
said that
he's honest here. The Rangers didn't really have an abundance of talented guys around him last year that could play
right.
center. The Rangers have
I gave the same arguments. I gave
the
same arguments.
The Rangers have what they call blended wingers. You know, they have all these blended wingers. You know what I mean? Like Eric Christensen. Is Eric Christensen really a center? No, he's a blended winger. Same with Parenteau, listed as a center, but probably better suited to play wing, you know? So it's like,
right.
you know, they don't really have that guy, that pivot, to kind of create that chemistry. You know what I'm saying?
No, I agree
Maybe
with
that's
it, but
why they're going to sign Stepan. Maybe that's why Stepan's coming
in. I think with Grachev... Again, his agent was very adamant about getting him turning pro. And that's the word I got, is that it would have behooved Evgeny to stay with Brampton and play another year in the O, but his agent kind of hurried him along, wanted him to get pro, why there was
you know
a buzz
though?
About him. What?
I think it's another one of those. I think it's another one of those examples of talent level, where the kid's at, where he's going to be. I mean, in Brampton, he had 80 points in 60 games. He had over 20 points in 19 playoff games. The kid was highly talented. He was, in my opinion, one of the best forwards in the OHL. And maybe his agent was pressing the issue, but the kid was so big and so talented and could skate. I think it was time for him to see what he could do in the pros. You know, I think Grachev, I'm not saying he's going to make the Rangers next year or this year, whatever. I'm not saying that, but I think that it was hard for the Rangers to send him back to Hartford because of what he brings to the table. The guy can line up at left wing. He can line up at center. He's big. He's fast. He's got immense talent. And I, you know, maybe it'll be 2011. Maybe it'll be 2012, but we'll see.
I mean, I agree with you, but again, the people I've talked to said there was no way Grachev was making the team. That was just a flash that we saw in the. Listen, there's no bigger. Me and you are on the same page as being an advocate for Evgeny.
Well, here's
the
other
same
thing I wanted to make a point on, and I touched on this last time we spoke. The biggest problem with New York is you've got guys in the NHL, and a large percentage, not all, but a large percentage of these guys, these kids, these young men, whatever you want to call them, they come from small towns, whether it's in Canada, whether it's in the United States, whether it's in Europe. You play in New York, it's a mecca. It's a big, major city. They get signed by Glenn Sather and his wonderful crew of misfits to these gigantic contracts that they have to live up to. Okay? And we've seen it time and time again. They never last. Maybe they've had a couple flashes here and there. You know, like Gavrik, I like. He's young. He was, you know, largely healthy last year. It was really a nice, pleasant surprise. But again, he didn't show up when it counted. He didn't show up in big games, just like every other failed free agent we've signed. It's the same story.
I can't disagree with you more.
I mean,
this
is why
the Rangers... did everything and anything that was asked from him the whole year. He played the Olympics, he played everything, and he played healthy. He had no center iceman. He made Vinny Prosper look good every big game. I mean, what did you want him to get? To win
the
game single-handedly?
He made the Rangers, and of course, Henrik Lundqvist first, okay? And he made the Rangers stay in it, kind of, okay? Because of his offensive acumen. But the problem is the kinda comes in because he didn't score when we needed him to. He helped kind of get us to that
point.
Are
you kidding me? No, you got to be kidding me. If you don't have Henrik Lundqvist and Marian Gaborik, you're talking about the number one pick in the draft with this team. And I defy you to bring up the stats for the last 10 games and tell me he didn't contribute down the stretch. I mean, the guy can't do miracles. They don't
I'm
have
talking
a whole
about Gaborik, not Lundqvist.
Well, okay. Well, I didn't think Lundqvist was all that hot down the stretch. You know,
I think
Jeff Yomp is not in the chat room, so I could talk about Henrik. But Henrik didn't play all that great down the stretch.
I think the defense was a little bit more laxing than Henrik was. I think the defense left too many open shots, too many easy opportunities. Lundqvist can't do it all. Okay, good teams play good defense. It's the bottom line. The Rangers didn't play good defense down the stretch. And like you had said earlier about Delzada, was he up too early? They had a bunch of guys that had no experience in those roles, playing in pivotal roles. They didn't have a real center. They had Eric Christensen out there in key situations. They
had you don't like
that
Eric
were not
Christensen,
equipped.
I can see that.
They had a bunch of guys that were not equipped to be in that situation, is my point.
Okay. Well,
Gaborik is a world-class player. I don't doubt that one bit. But did he have the support system he needed? No.
He had his best year of his career with the Rangers. How many guys do that? He comes over with all these question
Adam
marks,
Graves
and he has
did that.
Oh, come
Adam
on.
Graves did it once, I think.
I mean,
my
yeah.
My point,
I
again,
mean,
though.
No, Adam Graves.
Building the team
he was
from
a bum
within
too.
Is the only way the Rangers are going to win consistently. It's the only way it's going to happen. And when I'm on Blue Shark Banter and I see these guys talking about, what about this guy? What about that guy? Leave it alone. You know? Really.
Well, I agree with you there.
Let these young guys see what they can do. You know? I'm going to leave you guys with that. You guys have a good night.
Take care.
All right. Thanks, Pete. All right. Pete mixing it up with you a little bit there.
Come on, listen. I mean, I love the phone calls. I love it all. But, Pete, you can't – I mean, dude, I mean, somebody pull up the last, like, 10 games Gaborik played and see what his point totals are. Because I really think come on. Gaborik did above and beyond. A bunch of – I mean, come on. Those players stink, most of them. All right. Now it's – oh, wait, we got to do our the intro, so to
yeah,
speak.
Let me
I kept calling that guy Paul, Pete. But Pete, yeah, I think Pete, yeah, listen, everybody's entitled to their opinion, but if I disagree, I'm going to say it. This ain't no Sam Rose and Joe Micheletti soft soap hug kumbaya fest where everything is great and dandy.
All right, you know? You're absolutely right. We'll argue with you. We'll mix it up. We don't care. All right, we got a half hour to go. We got a lot to get to still, and we've got 5 minutes left in the hockey game. So, but without further ado,
it's Mr. Mouth, the new game from Tomy that can't keep his big mouth shut.
Mr. Mouth.
Try to flip your chips into his mouth before he closes it.
Mr. Mouth.
First one out of chips is the winner.
Mr. Mouth.
I'll just give him my hippo hurricane collar.
.442 to go left. Hopefully Chicago can hold on. Now, the blue shirt band, a hungry hippo mouth, roll call! Here we go, Andrew from South Florida. Andrew is a man that is privy to my great hockey wax box break where I got a Tyler Myers and Matt Duchene rookie card worth a total of $400, ladies and gentlemen. And then there's Avery Rules, the poet, the know-it, the show-it, the man that goes, yeah. That's right. Avery Rules, and he does. He's the utmost instigator in the game of hockey. And he also has Aaron Voros as his boy toy. And before my bloody Valentine, or bullet for my Valentine 01, keeping it real with his heavy metal tendencies, his long hair, his hippie haircut, and his unshaven, unclean self. Nah, that's the old metal. Now everybody looks all clean cut and everything. So keep it metal. Keep it real, baby. I love you. Cohen Hockey. Let me tell you. Cohen Hockey is a cohesive type of hockey. It's a hockey where you stick together. It's a hockey chat where you kind of sit around on Facebook and trade quips with Jackie Lomber and Ava Simos all day. That's the kind of Cohen Hockey I love. And Cutter TML, Jeff from Toronto, we love him. He's started up Leaf Crisis. He's having a little problem with viewership, people. So, hey, listen. I started from meager beginnings, and look, I built myself an empire of nothing. Dave from Blue Shirt Blogs, always love his opinion. Dave is always on the cusp of Ranger News. Check out his website. It's fantabulous. Dave also knows everything about waiver wires and free agents and all that stuff. All the stuff I don't know. And did Eddie Johnstone. Paul, finally. Paul, you know, me and Paul were close during the season, but all I know about Paul is three things. Eddie Johnstone, alias Paul. Paul was sick for like 2 months. Then Paul's been going to his girls' softball games every day, every Sunday. And I know the third thing is he's getting ready to see the Nuge at Mulcahy's, Ted Nugent.
Wango Tango, Wango Tango. I got the cat scratch fever. Check it and see. That's Paul. Ted Nugent is in town, and Paul will be there. And then, of course, Yog 68. I guess a Yaramir Yager fan, huh? Yeah, Yog 68. I've met this person in person. They love pizza. And I love pizza, too, obviously, if you take a look at my protruding gut. Yacht 68, we salute you for being a die-hard, hard, blue-shirt banner radio fan. Jay of the Dead. Jay of the Dead. Now, you would say, what are you doing? Are you woofing? What are you doing? I'm trying to do my best. What?
I'm sorry. I think the Flyers just tied the game. I thought I heard my wife yelling and cheering, but I think she was screaming. No, I think
shit.
The Flyers. Yeah, Flyers just okay. Sorry. Continue.
I can't. Sorry, Jay the Dead. I'm scaring Megan. What are you? Somebody tell Newman to shut up. Anyway. Wait a minute. Guess what, Jimmy Hoffa Newman? I'm on you now. First, now I can tell you to shut up in person. But I got to tell you something about John Newman. He's a good guy. He's trying to make himself a mark in this world. And I have to tell you, he's got a little some tricks up his sleeves. And I think he may try to regain some of his respectability in Rangers circles. And he might just pull it off. So don't underestimate Mr. John Newman. John from Australia, bringing to you the hardcore reality, keeping it real. Jonathan from Australia is sick of it all. That's why he's going to go see. I wonder if he's gone to see that group, Sick of It All. Jonathan is bringing you the hardcore reality in 99. This is KRS-One. Can't believe it's 3-3. Screw bastard. I hate it. God damn it. I hate it. The Lone Ranger. That's right. The Lone Ranger, one of the best names, I think. One of my favorite names, as far as I'm concerned, I can say. The Lone Ranger, a person of wildlife, the Lone Ranger, and big into ecology. Nope, I think he's just crazy as a loon, and he's here to participate in Blue Shirt Feather Radio. Quick release. Let's hope some of these Rangers are a quick release. Brian Boyle and Valisen, half the team. Quick release, quick release. Yes, quick release. Who has a quick release? You know who has a quick release? Steven Stamkos has a sick release. But too bad the Rangers have guys who are NHL releases. And then, of course, there's Ranger Crisis me. And then there's Zach, who's calling in the game with 3:15 to go. I can't believe that the goddamn Flyers tied it up. Holy shit! Sorry for my language, but I'm just so exasperated at this point. Then Rock 1193, who we heard from before. Rock, I enjoyed your phone call. Your phone call was lucid. It was on point, unlike Peter's. Anyway, well, we move on to the last but not least. Stan from Bayside. Stan the man keeping it real in the field in Bayside, Queens. Stan, a devout listener of Blue Shirt Banner Radio, and we love you.
Since the beginning.
What?
Stan has been here since the very... I think Stan called in on the very first show we ever did.
Wow. I love
He's
it,
been
Stan.
Here since the beginning. Yes. And that concludes...
Don't take offense. I was just talking out my ass. I can't believe this. I'm so discombobulated right now that they tied it.
All right, we got 20 minutes to go. We're going to take another phone call. This might be our last phone call of the night. We don't know yet. We'll see what's going on. 519, you're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
It's Cutter.
Cutter.
Hey, Cutter. Jeff, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can.
We can hear you.
Welcome to the program.
Good. Huh? What were you saying?
Welcome to the program.
Nice to be on the program. How are you guys?
We're
good.
Doing good. How about yourself?
That's good. Good to hear.
I want to thank you for
being kind of our guy who's keeping us up with the information as we speak about it. I think that's great.
Well, thank you guys very much for providing me this blog for me to post my views and all that, and everyone listening to them. That's good.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, yeah. Now, I wanted to ask you. Now, you're a Leaf fan. You're a hockey fan, and you know, you're a very knowledgeable hockey fan. And I think the Rangers and the Leafs kind of have something in common that we really haven't seen a lot of winning in the history. So, of the original six franchises, could you tell me what you see on the horizon for Toronto and the Maple Leafs?
Well, on the horizon, I think the Leafs have to keep their young prospects because, like, Brian Burke is pretty much our best GM since Cliff Fletcher back in the 90s. And, well, even though we lost the number two draft pick to Boston, thanks to us getting Kessel, although Kessel was a good player last year, basically what we have to do is keep focused on our young people, like our young players and all that, and I think we should re-sign Gustafson because he's a very valuable guy.
Yeah, I mean, he seems to be the I saw him live. I saw the Rangers actually play the Leafs at the Garden. And I got to tell you, he impressed me. I actually was there when Dion Phaneuf got his first goal as a Leaf. And I think they kind of expected a little bit more out of Dion than they got.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I know you're a big Patrick Roy fan as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what do you think about this broadcast that we do? I mean, you're a Canadian. You are an avid hockey fan. You live in the country where hockey is A number one. What do you think about this little broadcast we call Blue Shirt Fan and Radio?
Well, to be honest, I didn't know what to expect, but when I kept looking at your YouTube videos, Eddie, am I right, Eddie?
Yeah.
Or the mouth, I should call you.
You call me Eddie. My friends call me Eddie. My friends call me the mouse. As long as,
well,
you know.
Yeah.
Whatever you feel comfortable with.
Sure. Anyway, Eddie, so I was watching your videos and all that on YouTube. I subscribed to you. I was pretty impressed with what you did for Ranger Crisis and all that and getting all that old-time footage and such. So that kind of inspired me to do, like, Leafs Crisis and all that because now with Chicago, if they win either today or Friday, the Leafs will now have the longest cupless drought and the longest finalist drought. You got to remember that, too.
That's true.
That's right. Leafs haven't been to the finals since 67 as well. You got to keep that in mind.
Right, and you know the story of Bill Barilko, right?
Oh yeah, I was reading up on it a long time ago.
Do you know the story? Would you like to tell the people out there, maybe in Rangerland, that are not famous about?
I will tell you guys about Bill Barilko. Basically, Bill Barilko was one of the star defensemen, like playing up in Northern Ontario. And when sponsorship was still around in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, got to remind you guys about sponsorship later on in the show, but basically Barilko was pretty much a rare find in Northern Ontario. And basically what Leafs did is they focused on him. He went to this team called the Hollywood Wolves in Los Angeles. They were a Pacific Coast team. And basically the Leafs called him up. I think it was 48, 49, I can't remember. But anyway, in 1951, in one of the greatest cup finals of all time, the Leafs and Habs went to 5 games, and basically every game went to overtime. Trust me.
Right.
You guys are still listening? Good.
Yeah, we're still listening, of course.
sorry. I usually don't talk this long at one time, like consecutively. Anyway, back to 1951. Game 5, Barilko comes charging in, and he shoots a rocket that went over Jerry McNeil's head. There's a famous picture of it in many hockey books and all that, of Barilko, like, falling down on his, like, fall close to the ice on his stomach and all that. And, of course, that goal went over. You could barely see the puck over McNeil's shoulder for the Canadians, and of course he was the starter between Bill Durden and Jacques Bond, if I remember correctly.
Ah, yep.
Okay. And anyway, later that summer, he decided to go on a fishing trip up north, and he took one of his friends, who was a doctor called Perry Hudson, I think. I can't remember his first name, but I know it's Hudson. They went up north somewhere and for a fishing trip, and then all of a sudden he was missing and all that. They couldn't find him. They tried everything. And ironically, 11 years later in 62, I think it was just after the Leafs beat the Blackhawks for the Cup, someone from the team, like the front office, told the Leafs team that they actually found a remains of a plane with two bodies in them, and they identified one of them, not the pilot, but one of them as Bo Brickle. So that was kind of a curse that the Leafs were involved in.
Right.
Huh.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There's actually a song about it, too.
Yeah, I have that on my computer. It's called 50 Mission Cap by Tragically Hip. They released it in 92, I believe.
Yeah, it's a great song.
It is pretty good.
Yeah.
Hey,
go ahead,
Eddie.
No, you go ahead.
No, it's all right. Go ahead.
No, I wanted
why
to
why don't you go ahead?
Well, I thank you for calling in, and I'm glad you're part of the program, and I'm glad you love Ranger Crisis. As a matter of fact, because I'm going to put a classic Ranger Leaf game up on my next video because of you. And if you guys
okay.
can check out Leaf.
Anyway, there was another reason why I wanted to call Eddie. Because, like I said, something about sponsorship, correct?
Right.
And I was trying to get you to mention that back in the 60s, the Kitchener Rangers, which is our major team, like in the OHL and all that, they were
mm-hmm.
sponsoring like the New York Rangers and all that, and they put one of their best players, Walkachuk, to New
right.
York. Yes, that's
yes,
right. Walkachuk
right.
and all that. And then they stopped the super sponsorship in 69. I can't remember why, but anyway, I guess it was kind of an easier draft for all the teams to do in, I suppose.
Right, yeah. Every team had affiliations, and you know this, that the Canadians pretty much had, you know, they had the number, they always got the best players, you know, because, you know, everybody wanted to play
mm-hmm.
for the Canadians, and I guess they, you know, they had all these affiliations all over Quebec, you know, nobody was going anywhere. So, yeah, that's a great point. You know, I had forgotten that Walt was a Kitchener Ranger. I'm going to try to get
mm-hmm.
Walt on the show. And so we appreciate it, Jeff. We appreciate the phone call. We got to move on. We only got 15 minutes left, but,
15 minutes left. I can see that.
Yeah.
Just look at my YouTube stuff, Cutter TML. It's the same name as in the blog, Leafs Crisis. I've got other stuff too, like baseball, basketball, college sports, and all that. But just see it and just see what you like and comment. I don't care if they're good or bad comments. Just comment on my videos. I'll get back to you and maybe you'll be my friends. And I'll still be on. Booster banter, okay?
Okay, all right. Take care, my friend.
Thanks, buddy.
I will take care, guys.
See ya.
Goodbye.
Bye. That was Cutter. Inspired by Eddie's Ranger Crisis to create his own Leafs Crisis. And make sure you check out Ranger Crisis if you haven't seen it. Eddie put a new video up. Rangers Islanders Game 5, 1979. Great video. And on the subject of that video, Ron Greschner is in that video, played in that game. And we have been trying to get Ron Greschner on this show for a while, and we just haven't been able to make connection with him. So Eddie came up with a great idea. Eddie, why don't you tell him what your idea is?
Okay. Well, my idea is this. Me and Jim have tried every avenue. I've talked to Kotze about Greschner. I've talked to other players about getting Ron on the show. And I just think that we just can't get him on. And I would love to have him on because I see him on Facebook all the time and we're talking about him and we're commenting on his posts and the whole thing. And I was thinking about, you know, how SNL got Betty White through Facebook, like a Facebook movement to get Betty White on Saturday Night Live, and it was just a success. I think we should start a Facebook, a group or a movement of some sort to get Ron on this show. And I know we have a lot of fans on Facebook here that are in the thing, and if we all can somehow get Ron's attention to come on this show and give him a little pressure from us Ranger fans, let's face it, we could use some pressure. We apply it nicely, throw a little, you know, schmooze him a little. Ronnie, we love you. We all love him anyway. I think it'll be a great show. He's been on Paulie D's show, and it was great. It was great with him and Nikki. But I also think we could get a lot out of him here with the fans calling in. He can interact with the fans. I think it would be awesome. So if you guys can help us develop, get Ron Greshter group together on the show on Blue Shirt Banner, or just message him, or one day we'll just all go on his Facebook, and we can get it going, because I really want to get him in here, and I thought it'd be a good kind of like project for all us hockey wackos. Jada Dead says, "Hey Ron, Wayne Gretzky called and get your head out of your ass."
I wouldn't put it quite that way. That might be a little strong.
Yeah, I mean, Ron's a tough guy, and I'm sure he's heard worse, but I don't think that's the way to kind of schmooze people.
But yeah, if somebody wants to start a Facebook page or something like that, get Ron Greshter on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. And, you know, and invite everybody that you know that's a Ranger fan. And not only will it maybe, you know, get Ron's attention, but it might bring some more Ranger fans into our little radio family here.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Well, just even if we just, you know, when he puts up a post and say, "Hey, Ron, why didn't you go on Blue Shirt Banner Radio?" And it looks like NBC's dropped the ball again with some misinformation. Yeah, I'm friends with Gresh, too. I sent him, personal mail, you know, the Facebook stuff. And just, you know, I guess he's just very busy. He's got 5 kids to take care of. So if we can get that underway, that would be great. I think that would be a good thing. And I think Ron was through it all. I mean, he was through it all. And he, inevitably, every person we talked about talks about how good Ron Greshner was to them when they came to the Rangers. Everybody always says Ron was just excellent. And that goal that he scores in that video I posted, if you watch the beginnings of that play, Ava's going to take care of it? Good, because Ava is a mover and a shaker. She knows how to do things and get things done.
All right,
I like it.
So we can expect to be invited to a page tomorrow. Instead of all these stupid frigging groups I get invited to all day long on Facebook, I want to be invited to one tomorrow that says, "Get Ron Greshner on Blue Shirt Banner Radio." That's what I want to see.
Yeah, and yeah, exactly. That's what I want to see. And if you do that, peach is on me. I mean, literally, it's going to be on me. I'm just going to throw peach on myself.
I was just going to say, literally, it's just a slice of pizza. Right there.
So, Jim, you're better at these announcements. You want? Let's talk about what you told me to hold off on.
Yeah, because I thought we'd have the last half hour, and now here we're down to 6 minutes.
Yeah, I know.
All right, really quick. I'm going to try, and we'll get into it more next week, and we'll talk about it a little bit more. And we do have a guest next week, probably for about a half hour or so. Michael McKinley, who wrote a hockey book, will join us next Wednesday night. Probably about, I think about 8:30. We'll be back on the air 8 to 10 next week. The Blue Shirt Banner Radio, as you know it, is going to undergo some changes. We're going to expand our horizons, so to speak. Eddie and I have talked about this at great length, and we've also got Joe, who is known as Mess and Gretz in the chat room when he's here. He's helping us out. We're going to be designing a new website. That will be just for the show. And the show is going to undergo a name change. We're not going to announce what it is yet in the next couple of weeks. We'll be doing that. And sometime, I guess, over the summer, we'll change over. We're going to be doing some different things. We're going to have our new website. We'll have some of Eddie's videos on it. We'll have some stories. We'll have podcasts. What we're looking to do is we're looking to better promote the radio show since it's become, you know, it's growing. We've come a long way from where we started. And you know, as somebody like Stan can tell you, who was here, like I said before, at the beginning when there might have been 10 people in the chat room and two phone calls, you know, we've come a long way. But we're looking now to take the next step, and we think this is the way to do it. We're also going to be reaching out to you guys probably for some help, maybe some creative ideas. We'll talk about that, I think, more next week. We're also looking into some other things, maybe doing an internet TV show. We have an outlet that I've been discussing with a guy who's a friend of mine who does one currently, and we might be looking into doing a TV show. You guys could take part in that with us. It'll be, like I said, an internet TV show. We're also going to set up some kind of – oh, speaking of the devil, look who just popped in, Joe, Mess and Gretz.
Hey, Joe, what's up?
Good evening, Joe. Thanks for joining us. We're also probably going to set up some kind of shop. A lot of you have asked about buying a Blue Shirt Banner Radio T-shirt or a coffee mug or a keychain or a bumper sticker or polo shirt, a hat, a toilet.
Are you going to talk about the name?
Well, I didn't know if we wanted to announce the name yet until we're a little more ready as far as, you know, the website and things like that.
Okay. What do you guys think about – we were trying to come up with names, and then, you know, we talked about names, and then it would be like, oh, this is a bad idea. Like, I thought it would be a good name at first would be like Third Man In. And then I was like, wow. This sounds like a gay website, then, if we do that.
Super.
Super.
We're
welcome
fabulous.
To Third Man In.
That Ranger game last night, we give it what did those guys used to say
hated
on In Living
it.
Color? Hated it, yeah.
Hated it.
In Z formation.
The Wayne Redden hour.
Yeah. Wade Redden 120.
Wade World.
I like that. That's funny.
That's a good. That would be a good section to have. Wade's World. We have all his mistakes on the ice.
Wade's World. Wade's World. Excellent.
I give it to you. What's up?
You know what we should do too. We have some guys, a lot of guys out here that are into music and bands and stuff. We need to get somebody to come up with like a put together a theme for us. Maybe we could have a contest, some kind of contest. We'll give something away. Somebody that comes up with a good theme for the new show or something. I don't know. Maybe that'd be kind of funny. See what people come up with.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, if there's people out there, you know, that are talented like that.
Say there's Corner and Funhouse. I like that too.
How about Yo MTV? Yo Brashear Raps.
Yo Brashear Raps.
Play that rap again. I want to laugh again. I know we got a couple of minutes, but
I gotta find it.
All right,
okay.
Don't worry about it.
No, don't
be haters and say I suck when y'all know I'm quick on the puck. Davis said I could be a Ranger. Now you punks treat me like I'm a stranger.
Yeah.
Oh, what's up?
The end is the best. Is the best part. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What's up? Torts and Punishment. That's funny too. I like that one.
Yeah. Well, you guys are creative geniuses out there. We love you. I mean, you guys are.
Lots of changes coming this way. I promise we'll get into it a little more next week in detail. And I'm sorry we didn't have more time because we did want to discuss it tonight. We've been kind of putting it off for weeks, but that's the story. Anyway, go ahead, Eddie.
You know, I just want to say let's hope the Hawks win, and we all can go to sleep excited and happy. And thanks again, guys. We love you guys tuning in and calling, and you know. Especially when it's the summer. We got the major Ranger fans here and the guys who back up the team and the girls 24/7, 365. I can't say enough about you guys.
Joe just said, let's do a Saturday morning show called HR Puck and Suck. That's great. HR Puck and Suck.
Puck and Suck. We should make, somebody should get that HR Puffin stuff dragon and get it. And then we could put like HR Puck and Stuck like underneath them. And then have a, that would be a great logo. So that's
all right.
The story.
10 seconds to go. We are out. We will see you next Wednesday night. Go Blackhawks, and we'll talk to you guys next week. Good night, everybody.
Great show.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it's always fun when we don't. Well, I mean, the guests are fun, but it's kind of fun when we don't have a guest because things just kind of get out of control.
Oh. Me and Pete going at it. Anyway, so that's Scoop. I'm going to watch the game.
All right, yeah, me too. I'm going to go catch the end.
Take care.
All right, you too. I'll talk to you later.